I'm going to speak out of a scripture in Isaiah. But before I go to the scripture, I just want to read something, and it's in the New Living Testament. I haven't given you this because I want you to listen carefully. Isaiah is prophesying, and he's speaking on God's behalf on how the people are and how they're behaving. And I just want to get you to get the picture of how amazing this God is that we serve. So I'm going to read some scriptures. It says this, "Listen, O heavens, pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its owner. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. Listen, they are an evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They've despised the Holy One of Israel. They've turned their backs on him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever?" And that's the heart of what Isaiah is prophesying. He's telling Israel, listen, you bunch of wallies, you've actually messed it up. And God is not pleased with you. And then in verse 18, it says this in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says this. Come now. After all the drama, he prophesies. This is what God says. Come. Now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Come now, let us reason together. Come now. It's the word of a king. If you get an invite from King Charles, well, I don't know, some of us might say, well, yeah, Charlie, you know. No. He's the king. There are many kings. There's the king of England. There's the king of Spain. There's the king of Monaco. We've got a Xhosa king. We've got a Zulu king. We've got king, who's that? Oh, the king of the air, yeah, whatever. There are many kings. There are many kings. But this king who gives the invite, come now, is the king of kings. There are many lords. You know, the British have lord this, lord that, lord whoever. There are many lords. But this invite is from the Lord of lords. There's no one like him. There are many ways in life. There are many truths in life. There are many ways to live. But he, this king, is the way and the truth and the life. He makes the invite. He says, come now. Have you ever, when you're little with your dad, if you can remember some of your old gray-haired buttes, way back, and you did something wrong and your dad said, come now. What was going to happen? You knew, oh, frack, he's drama. He has trouble. With my own kids, I'd say, come now. Let's talk. And we reason things out. He is the God of all gods. There are many names, but he's been given the name that is above every name. This king makes this thing. He says, come now. Let's reason together. Let's reason this whole thing out. God calls us to come and repent. To come and repent. What does repent mean? What is repent? It essentially means that we change the way we think. We have got a specific way we think about things, and God says, look, I want to reason with you. I want to help you think the way I want you to think. Because the way God thinks is the perfect way to think. You know, when God says, I want to reason with you, you don't say, okay, hang on. I've got a few things, you know, I can add. No, you can add nothing. I remember we had a guy years ago who erred, and he owned it, and we as elders went to visit him, and he was leading, as we used to call them, a home group. And we asked him, you know, we said, look, it's best that you stand down for a season. And you know, we're very gracious and very kind. And then he said to me, so do I have anything? Can I now bring my defense? I said, no. You got no defense. You were wrong. Own it. You did wrong. No, that's, you don't reason with God. God doesn't say to you, now listen, Jeffrey, this is what I want you to do. Yeah. But Lord, do you remember? Do you understand? There's things I've got to still. No, you don't reason with God. God reasons with us. But he says, come now, come now. And in the Bible, there are many comes. God says, come. Sometimes he does say, depart from me. Sometimes he says, depart. I never knew you. Whew. But most times, this loving Father says, come, come. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, come. Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And if you have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Come. God's saying, come, come. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Come, come. We can enter in. Did I give you Matthew 22:4? No, okay. Mark 1:17, I did. I remember that. I wrote it down this morning. Come, follow me, Jesus said. I will make you fish. Come, come. God's calling you this morning. The invite is to come. But the problem is lots of us don't accept the invite. We sit on our blessed assurances. And we don't respond. And God's saying to us this morning, come. Come, come to me. Come, come to me. I love it when he says, come now. I used to have a friend. I've got a friend who used to say, come on now. When things were a little bit, he'd say, come on now. But God says, come, come now, come. It's an open invitation from a king. Have you accepted that invitation? Have you accepted the invite that God, the God of creation, has given to humankind, saying, come to me? Have you? Have you accepted that? It said, I'm here, Lord. I'm coming. I want to come to you. I was phoned yesterday. I can't remember. It's Friday night. And there was a young guy who was going to share something at his school at a reunion, and asked me what I thought. And yesterday morning I was thinking, I went for a walk, and I was just thinking, we spoke about reunion. And I thought, yeah, if I went back to my school, what would qualify me to be one with those guys that were at school with me? How do we fellow, whatever we call them. I was at school with you. Well, what qualifies me? Well, the badge that I had on my blazer and they had on their blazer, we were at school together. We went through challenges together. We stayed together in a boarding house. We were naughty together. We learned to smoke together. We learned to sneak out at night and go and buy fish and chips. As if the masters wouldn't smell that when you got back to the hostel. I mean, it's ridiculous. We did. Those are the things that united us, and we could have a reunion because we were one with each other by way of the experiences we've had. What's our reunion going to be like one day when Jesus comes back? Are we going to say, yeah, but, or is he going to say, I never knew you. I don't know you. I mean, these are serious words. I don't know you. Now, we can be reassured that he does know us. We don't have to panic. Oh, my word, am I really saved? Am I? No, you know when you're saved. Like Greg said this morning, he got up and God spoke to him. He felt the presence of God. Well, that's a reassurance. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming to you. Because I need you now. I've got 2.5 preachers sort of done, but none of them is good enough. But then God speaks. Because why? Because I come. I come to him. Have you come? Have you come to him for the first time in your life and acknowledge, Lord, I'm like these Israelites, not acknowledging you, doing my own thing, thinking my own thoughts, being who I want to be. I'm good enough. If you haven't yet come, at the end of this meeting, I want you to come speak to me. Please, can you do that? I thought that I'd get a response from people, but you've come. So you can't respond again. You've come. You've come. Where do you stand? Let us reason together. As I said, he had massive disputes with the people of Israel. They neglected him. They forgot about him. They did their own thing. They intermarried. They had idols. They worshipped things. Other things other than God. How can you worship things other than God? By day, that was the pillar of cloud. By night, it was the pillar of fire. Let me say this to you. And Warren, thank you for your word, unity. When you're in the desert in the middle of the day and you're in a crowd and a cloud covers you, you don't want to be on the edge of the cloud because you're going to get shushu there. You're going to get hot there. In Khoisan, they say, you are cheese supper. It burns there. Yesterday, I was going a walk and these three African guys talking. And I could hear they speak Khoisan, so I speak Khoisan as well. And I walked in, I said, Molweni madoda. And suddenly we were talking about life. And a lady came to me and she said to me, is that Khoisan you speaking? yeah. It's Khoisan. But when you speak the same language with somebody, then you one with that person. And that's why God says, let us reason. Let's reason together. He begins to help you understand his language. And the language is obviously the language of the book. He speaks out of the book. But the stuff that I've taken from the book and I've embraced into me, that's the stuff he reasons with me about. Because he'll say to me, listen, you got that wrong. It doesn't say that. It says this. It doesn't mean that. It means that. And if I haven't got the life of Christ in me through the word, then what's he going to reason with? I'm just an empty old vessel, clanging cymbal. What does it say in Corinthians? Noisy, clanging, empty, useless individual. No, I get the word into me. And then God reasons with me. Then I go back to the written one. And I say, of course, I see it's wrong. Can you say amen? That's God reasoning with us. I want to reason with you. I want to help you. Come now. Let's reason together. He's saying, let's talk. The agenda is always his agenda. You don't come in prayer with an agenda. Now, Lord, I just want to tell you this morning, I was a bit the zig yesterday, that actually I felt you let me down. Because I thought that you would help me get the right words to say to that lady, and I got nothing. And God says, look here, you ugly thing, that's not me, that's you. You don't reason with God like that, because God's perfect in all his ways. He's perfect in all his ways. Have you, and you all have had, I'm sure, you speak to somebody and you're really getting there, and then anyway, the conversation ends and you walk away, and you think, and then you get what you wanted to say. Have you had that? And I'm saying, Lord says you've got to learn to listen. I spoke to you. You just never heard me. You were too busy talking. That's why God wants to reason with us. The lady that spoke to me said, is that Khoisan? She had her arm in a sling. And my first thought was, pray. I'm going to pray for you. And then we got talking, and then she said, thanks very much. And off she went. And then I stood. I said, you Wally. You had a chance. All you had to say was, would you mind if I prayed for you? Ask God just to speed up this healing because she'd had an operation on her shoulder. God has built healing into our bodies. Okay, so you pray for healing. It's going to get healed because that's built in. But we can pray that God speeds that process. And so people, there's a miracle. It's so quick. But she walked away and I lost. the opportunity. Of course, none of you ever have that happen. He will reason with us because he's a compassionate father. He's a compassionate father. I said it this morning in the prayer meeting. You know, Jesus' disciples came to him and they just watched him pray. And they actually said, you know, John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Won't you teach us how to pray? Teach us how to pray. And it's become a mantra. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And we say that in the morning, and then we think, well, that's good. No. The wonderful thing he said, you say our Father, or my Father in heaven. Woo! What an honor. What a privilege. He's a gracious, compassionate Father who's full of loving kindness towards us. Psalm 103, verse 8 says this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. How slow are you? How slow am I? How long is your fuse? When somebody lights your fuse and you think, I must snuff it out before I go bang. But the fuse is so short, you've gone bang before you can get there. God lengthens our fuse. He helps us. He helps us. He reasons with us. He says, look, it's going to take a little ana, but I want to take out that little short fuse, and I'm going to put in a longer fuse. So if somebody lights it, you go, I'm not going to explode, not anymore, because I've got a compassionate Father, and he wants to reason with me. He wants to help me. Luke 13, 34 and 35 says this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. Oh, he just wants to gather. Want to gather. My wife, when we'd get together with all our kids, we've got 10 grandkids, it's massive. All these, what do you call them, sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, sons, daughters, grandkids. Cost me a fortune just to have a meal with them. And my wife would say, come here, all my chickens are here. Because and that's what moms do. And God's got that mom touch. I wanted to gather you as a hen. Have you seen hens gather their chicks? There's danger. And she clucks a bit. And then the next thing she sits. And the little oaks all. And how they all fit under there, I don't know. But God makes you fit into the spot that he has for you. And he protects you. And he protects you from evil. We've got a compassionate Father. Then we get this wonderful promise. Though your sins. Go back to Isaiah 1:18, if you can. I'm sure you can. Though your sins are like scarlet. It's a known fact that if you dye something red, it's one of the most difficult colors to actually get rid of. When red gets into a garment, it's red. It stays red. You can, and he said, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now that's an interesting word, and I shared it this morning, thinking I had this incredible revelation that nobody's ever heard. And I was going to bring this, and people were going to, oh, my word. And Anton said, Jana, you should speak to Stefan. He preached on this some time ago. And then I realized there's nothing new under the sun. You're just another guy finding things for yourself, thinking, nobody. No, people have found it all, but they found it before. But this is the wonderful thing. It says they are like scarlet. It doesn't say they are scarlet. Interesting way to choose the words. So the scarlet, like scarlet, actually refers to a worm that they used to find in the Middle East in those days. And the worm was a scarlet worm. It was red. And they used to use the worms, the redness out of the worms. Don't ask me how they got it. I don't know how they did that. But anyway, they got the red. and they used it as a dye to dye articles of clothing. It was a deep, rich scarlet red. And this worm was unique to that area, and the people used to use it to dye things. But the life cycle of the worm was this. It would grow into whatever it was, and then it would climb on a tree, on a branch, and there it would lay its eggs, very prominent, you could see it red. It would lay its eggs, and then itself would die. That worm would die. Then the eggs would hatch, and they would become little worms. And mom had died, but now we've got little worms. And what would happen is, when it died, it would leave a scarlet mark on the branch or the trunk of the tree where it was. There you could see this, the scarlet worm. The scarlet had been there. That's brilliant. It's dying to self, says the elder in front here. Yes, I'm glad I'm not a worm. But here's the wonderful thing. In Psalm 22 and verse 6, which is called a messianic psalm, it's prophesying about Jesus and his death on the cross. This is what it says. He says, I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. And that same word is used in Isaiah 1:18. Worm. The towler, as it was called. It was a scarlet worm. The worm would attach itself, introduction from Greg, to die to self. It would die. Then it would leave a red stain where it had been, and that red stain would turn white. And in time, it would flake and just fall off the tree. And that's a picture. The worm, obviously, is a picture of the life. And of course, Jesus died so that he could birth us, so that we could be born again, so that we could find life through the scarlet, through the blood, through the shedding of his blood. And there was a stain on the cross of his blood. But the stain, I love this, it didn't just cover our sins, it removed our sins. It removed our sins. And as I said in Psalm 22, it's a parallel. It's how gracious is God. Come now. Let's reason together. You have got no chance. You are going to die in your trespasses and sins. You are going to an eternity without me. There is no other way except me. That's God's reasoning, because that's the truth. What are you going to do? I'll try my best. Well, I tried my best for 25 years. It didn't get me anywhere with God, because my best and your best is not good enough. We can't do that. But he calls. He says, let's reason together. In Psalm 20, the prophet Micah paints a beautiful picture of this miraculous event. This is what he says, Micah. It's a good thing I don't have your Bibles with you, so you tell you to turn to Micah, hey? Because that's where the pages are still a bit stuck together in your Bible, Micah. He says, who is a God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Last thought before we break bread. Peter and John are going up to the temple in Acts chapter 3. You know the story? And they met a guy there, a beggar, who was asking for alms, and God gave him legs. You guys are going to be quick, eh? You're going to be quick. We have an alms account. I just thought I'd add that. Alms account, you got the? Yeah. People, we have an alms account because we want to help people. This man, he thought when Peter and John stopped, oh, here comes a few bob. And what did Peter and John say? I love that. Peter said, look at us. Silver and gold I don't have. Listen, my brew, in modern translation, I got no money. I've got a card. When I pulled out a thing, he said, we can help there too. Some little, I said, no. Silver and gold I don't have. Here's the key. But what I do have, I'll give to you. What have you got? You know what we've got? We've got the life of God on the inside of us by the blood of Jesus. The life, the pure, unadulterated, powerful life of Jesus by the Spirit living on the inside of us. That's why we shouldn't be nervous. If, like the lady yesterday, why I didn't pray for, I went home, I said, you stupid Wally, what are you doing? You had an opportunity. But I missed it. She's going to not get another chance. No, God is the God of the second chance. Maybe I'll meet her again. And I don't know, somebody else will meet her. But God gives us opportunities. God gives us opportunities. The kids are back. I must get going. John and them say, he said, silver and gold we don't. Then he says this in Acts 3:19. Beautiful scripture. Acts 3:19. Repent then, turn to God, listen now, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing come from the Lord. Your sins may be wiped out. Now, in those days, they didn't have paper like we've got paper. They had papyrus, which was made out of the stem of like a water plant. And they used to beat it. Thanks, guys. You're being amazing. Absolutely amazing. We'll let you loose in a second. And they used to write on it with whatever they had, the inks they had in those days. Now, the inks they had in those days, when they wrote on the papyrus, it didn't go into the paper. You know, you write with a fountain pen or a rollerball, it goes into the paper. Then when it's dry, you try and rub it out. Forget it. It's there. It's not permanent. It's not a permanent marker, but it makes a stain. You write with a ballpoint, it stains. It's there. But the writing on the papyrus was such that you could write, and you could write things, but you could come with a wet cloth afterwards and just take the wet cloth and wipe it. And that's the picture Peter has. That's the picture Peter has in Acts 3:19. Just put that back up again. Let me see it. Repent in it so that your sin may be wiped out or wiped away. That's the picture Peter had. God just takes a cloth and wipes it. That's what he's done through the blood. Through the blood, he's wiped. He's taken away our sin. Can you say amen? What an incredible God we serve. Wipe away all our sins. Who can, what's that line of the song? Who can wash away my sin? What can wash away? Only one thing. The blood of Jesus. Now, they didn't take the cloth with blood. They just wiped it clean. And the blood of Christ, when I own it into my life. Woohoo! I'm a clean boy. I'm clean on the inside. Because Jesus shed his blood for me. This is what it says in Psalm 103. My sins have been blotted out, wiped away, obliterated. 103 verse 8. The Lord is compassionate. We read it just there. Gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's quite high, so great is his love for those who fear him. Now this verse, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because I can go to the North Pole and I'll find Gregson there and Sizwe and Anton It's probably melting the polar ice there. No, he didn't say from the north or the south, because I can get there. I can find my sin. I can find other people's sin. And that's what happens often in churches. People find sin from someone or something, and it disrupts the unity of what God wants to do. Did you hear? I'm just telling you so you can pray. No, you're not. You're gossiping. And gossip destroys the life of Jesus in the church. He said, as far as the east is from the west, there's east. Yeah. So if I go east, I don't know where I'll get to, but the first place I can land in my aeroplane, I say to them there, where's east? They'll say. And then I'll go around, and then I'll land somewhere underneath here, and I'll say to the guy, where's east? He'll say. And I go round and round, because I can never get to the east. Isn't God amazing? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins and our transgressions from us. Whew. It's about the blood.